to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. My name is Spencer Hall. One of our guests tonight is Ryan Nanny. I want to start with a question for him, which is this. Hey, are Wisconsin and Nebraska going to play a football game this weekend? Because right now it is 9:22 p.m. Eastern on October 27th. And that answer might change by 9:24 p.m. But right now, are they playing a game, Ryan?
All right, so I'm going to do the responsible thing and look on Twitter, and I'm just putting in Wisconsin-Nebraska football. The first result I get, or one of the first results, says, regarding the likely cancellation of the Husker-Wisconsin game, Nebraska football parents can overrule the doctors, right? They can file a lawsuit forcing the game to be played. So I think as of now, I feel comfortable saying that it is scheduled to be played, and they don't know what's going to happen right now. And they will probably, if I had to guess, they probably won't decide until what, like Thursday? That feel right?
Yeah.
That feel like waiting as long as possible?
That feels about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as of now, Nebraska-Wisconsin is happening, even though Wisconsin is without Jack Cohn, who should have been the starter entering this year because he had, I think, leg surgery a couple weeks ago. They knew he was going to be out. Number two and number three on the depth chart have tested positive for COVID. I don't know if that's official. Graham Mertz was the starter for week one against, who'd they play, Illinois? He carved him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if there is a game, the honor of quarterbacking Wisconsin football falls to a young man, a junior out of Kimberly, Wisconsin, 6'5", 207 pounds, Danny Vandenboom.
DJ Vandenboom.
DJ Vandenboom.
DJ Vandenboom. Coming soon.
Danny Vandenboom.
Banny Dandenvoom.
Banny Vandendoom?
It's a great DJ name for a youth hostel.
Danny Bandendunes.
Yeah, that's who's starting. Danny Vandenboom. Could you read off Danny Vandenboom's height and weight again for me, please?
6'5", 207 pounds.
That's not much weight stretched over a whole lot of Danny Vandenboom.
No.
That's like one of my legs.
That's like pounds per inch for Vandenboom here. It's not looking real football like.
No.
It's not looking great.
No. This is a very skinny Christmas tree we're looking at here.
Oh, it just needs a little love, Charlie Brown.
Well, fortunately he's in Wisconsin, so if he wants to gain weight, it can happen.
You would think that, but they have Wisconsin's site has like his numbers over the year. He came in at 197. He jumped up to 212, and then he dropped to 207, where he has remained for the last 2 years.
Did they list weights on Wisconsin's depth chart?
You have to go. So it's interesting. It's under, for Mr. Vandenboom, it's under his historical player information. It's just four identical photos of him, his number, and his height and weight over the years that he's been in the program.
Did they just not put it on the short form because they don't want other programs to feel bad about being so, like, tiny?
No, I mean, they have all the, they have it everywhere else. You can find it. You can even sort by big boy if you want. There's a O-lineman named Josh Seltzner who's 6'4", 327. So that means that Danny Vandenboom could, I don't know if Josh is a starter or not, could be protected by an O-lineman who he is slightly taller than, and 120 pounds lighter than.
Hey, you'll be able to see rushers over
there. That's true. That's true.
That's, you know what? That's a huge weight differential. It is not the greatest weight differential that you will find.
No.
No. Not at all. Because there are There are yet bigger boys on the line at Wisconsin because, man,
in this
you just
economy?
Gotta, the sheer amount of, like, honestly, the sheer amount of calories that you have to pile into the Wisconsin offensive line, it gets impressive even in terms of our expected knowledge of the size of an offensive line. Like, it's just, at this point, it's a tremendous amount of food for anyone to just keep that weight, much less stay there. Do I hear a Jason Kirk in the wilds of Kennesaw, Georgia?
I am near the beach at this time, but yeah, hello.
Don't divulge your exact location.
I'm east of Jacksonville, to be quite frank, which is an exciting
ocean.
Place to be. I'm here
You're
to prepare.
In the ocean.
I'm the advance army that sent down by Kirby Smart to secure literally a beachfront for the dogs for, was that a couple weeks from now? Is it next week?
No, it's like...
something like that.
I don't know. Maybe it is next week.
I'm here. I'm here, Kirby. Situation secure.
Make sure you're, in other words, they're actually focusing on the ground game. That's good.
I mean, what else would Georgia focus on? they don't look up.
I've learned more fourth string quarterback names. Jason, do you have a favorite fourth string quarterback of all time?
Man, where to begin?
Where to begin?
God.
Because mine before this was a friend of the show, Nate Tice, who also played for Wisconsin, and who today, when he found out the Danny Vandenboom news, tweeted out, "It's Nate Tice depth chart levels time, baby!" about himself, and included a clip of him scoring a TD at Wisconsin. Now, when you are the fourth string quarterback, the offensive lineman gets very excited and headbutts you. How long did Nate feel this? For a week. That's what happens when you're the fourth stringer and you score a TD. They celebrate and inadvertently, like, you know, strain several vertebrae in your neck in the process.
We also jumped over the third stringer, who's also reportedly out with a positive COVID test.
Oh, at this point, I think we just assumed.
Fair. Is a sophomore quarterback by the name of Chase Wolfe.
Oh, a name and a simple sentence.
A name
we
and
love
a
it.
Simple sentence. That's right. That's right. Chase Wolfe.
Does he pass the UGA test for quarterbacks? Yes, because he would be Wolf Chase.
Wolf Chase?
Which
that
would
is
make...
that is veering into,
God, that's
like
a Georgia subdivision.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That is a Franklin, Tennessee subdivision,
the
right?
No, in Franklin, it would be the Chase at Wolf.
We just...
Tell me
we
I'm
just
wrong.
Bought in Wolf Chase. You know, we just wanted something smaller. It's only 3,800 square feet.
You know, the,
it's just more manageable for our family.
It's a better area, mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's safer.
And, you know, it's only got a community pool, which is not what we wanted, but not like everybody in the community. Don't get me wrong.
who's going? I'm just asking, who's allowed in this pool? I just want to feel safe.
Chase Wolf.
Chase Wolf, the
Wolf
third
Chase
stringer.
Chase Wolf is also a good, like, 80s action television program.
Yes. Listen.
Chase Wolf.
Chase Wolf wins steak.
Boy, that would be a good minor league baseball promotion. All right, we're going to release the Wolf. The first kid to catch him wins a steak.
Yeah, and if you fight him, you'll die. That's
what
your prize.
We put only people from one church out there to chase the Wolf in the ground floor of this stadium or arena, let's say.
If we just circle the Wolf and pray, he'll hear our prayers. Try it. Wolves love that. Do you have a game from the week to come that you're like, yeah, that's the business right there. I got one, because it suddenly got real interesting after this week.
Michigan is favored by 25 points over Michigan State. Traditionally, that has been an excellent position for Michigan to be in. Michigan State coming in off a very normal loss to Rutgers. Nothing weird about the box score. Nothing, you know, deceptive about that mm-hmm. box score. All very replicable. You tend to have a 9 turnover game And then you come in to face a team that just beat up on a team that was missing, what was like five starters, something like that.
Yep.
And that number's looking a little lofty. So yeah,
also, I will say this, 25 points, that's disrespect right there.
Does that work now that Mark D'Antonio is not the coach anymore?
I think so. I just think it's in their DNA. I think anytime you only have two colors and one of them is white, you just feel like the poor university, right? Like when one of your
couldn't afford nice uniforms,
right? When one of your colors is leave it blank, right? I think
I
you're perpetually going to feel disrespected.
I got to disagree with that. I feel like Michigan State and I hate to say this, Penn State have some of like the best looking uniforms in college football.
I always think Michigan State kind of has that utility.
And you know, I feel this sincerely because I wouldn't compliment these teams.
I feel like Penn State's always phoning it in the uniform department because they're like, yeah, the helmet, it's just white. Didn't put anything on there.
I think with Michigan State, it's like, sure, it looks nice, but in their minds, it's almost an attacking defensive kind of thing. Like, well, oh, you think our uniform sucks, don't you? You know, it's like, no, you guys look pretty cool. Oh, yeah, they think we're poor, you know. So, like, I think it's intentionally cutting down the number of colors so that you can complain about people who think you don't have enough colors. Michigan State is generating enough angst to cover the 25 is what I'm saying.
Michigan State is just the most irritating significant other of a program, right? Like, oh honey, listen, I love the uniform. You think it makes me look fat, don't you? No, it looks fine. The green and the white, it's so clean. Is that because I'm dirty? Like, just they'd have to just be exhausting. Fortunately, you don't have to date Michigan State, which is good because you won't have to put ice on their body after they are beaten black and blue by Michigan.
Tell me about your dates.
Yeah, what I do on my dates is I help everyone recover from the bar brawl we've gotten into. That's it. Just go ahead, fill the bathtub with ice because it was a really crazy night out.
That is how Indiana Jones forms most of his meaningful relationships. So.
You know, Indiana Jones is more trash neck, right? He's more hillbilly than
he's definitely a Michigan State grad. 100%.
Is the secret that Indiana Jones actually doesn't know math? Because I know he knows like five dead languages, but like, I think there's a real strong case to be made for Indiana Jones has no understanding of science or math.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And he's like, what's history for getting dirty? Mostly for getting dirty.
I mean, frankly, I think part of you at least has to be half stupid to carry a bullwhip as your primary weapon. It's so unpredictable, and you can't use it at close range. You're like, listen, I'm deadly. Just get 20 feet away from me.
I love Castlevania. You'll never take it away from me.
Indiana Jones is from, do we know this?
No.
He's from Princeton.
Wow.
A tiger.
He's false claiming Indiana.
The Michigan State, the Michigan State of the Ivy League.
So he has a PhD from University of Chicago.
Ah.
So he has two schools that used to be in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, based on other graduates at the University of Chicago I know, they don't know math either. So this is really Princeton, the math not required. They only hire mathematicians, right? They went and got Einstein. Einstein didn't go to Princeton. He had to move there. Mm-hmm. Right? So they went and bought some mathematicians. Then he went to University of Chicago, and he's just like, yeah, they can't do math at all. So, yeah, I'm buying this, right? Because Indiana Jones is perpetually doing things like, I'm going to swim to that submarine, and it'll be fine.
He now teaches at the supposedly fictional Barnett College in Fairfield, New York.
Well, that's Syracuse.
There we have it.
That's why he's so angry and carries a bullwhip. He's like, I lived through the Scott Schaefer for years.
Why am I teaching at a basketball school?
Oh my God! The population of Fairfield, New York, is 1,600.
Wow.
We got Indy out to the dead center of New York.
That like doesn't that kind of reveal that he's a shitty professor?
Yeah, you're at
yeah.
the
like.
I mean, he would be a shitty professor.
And if memory serves, he's not like, I teach like, master's students or students getting, he's teaching like intro to ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, you're 18 and you're here because your parents didn't want you to go off to war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you about ancient Samaria. pay attention or I'll bullwhip you. It's legal in this time.
The 1980s, yeah.
Yeah, the 19... It's crazy how legal bullwhipping was back then.
Yeah.
I wanted... By the way, his absenteeism rate, this has got to be crazy. That's why he's teaching all the intro classes, right? They're like, you know, he's thinking, oh, I really want to do that whole thing on Sumerian pottery. And they're like, yeah, listen, bro. The TA had to pick that up, and we just hired him as an adjunct. You're back on intro, dude. And he's like, I'm in a village of 1,600 upstate New Yorkers. I can't stand this. I gotta go run to New Delhi.
You should also know the professor keeps a gun on him a lot.
That's it. And he's probably had sex, inappropriate sex, with many of his students.
On study abroad, we saw the professor shoot a swordsman just in the middle of the street for no reason.
Yeah, it's fucking rad.
It's strongly implied he has sex with students. He had sex with a Nazi. Did we mention how he had sex with a Nazi?
Yeah, that's true.
He's like actually a national security risk. Also, same dude who had an affair with the dad. It's creepy. So he's creepy.
Wait.
Hang on.
Run that back.
Same dude.
Did, right. What was the verb?
Yeah. No, we need to rephrase that. Or do okay. we?
Buddy, we've talked about action verbs.
Yeah, that's true.
Indiana Jones and the temple of his dad.
And the temple and the weird Nazi orgy.
All I'm saying, it's real creepy that Indiana Jones' dad is like, oh, that girl? Let me tell you something about her.
Not when it's Sean Connery, though.
No, it's still creepy. It's grosser. No, it's Sean not. Connery's
it,
gross.
It makes more sense, though.
It makes...
It is more. It is both more plausible and equally gross.
Right.
that he's just playing Sean Connery there? Like, oh, her.
Yeah.
That Sean Connery will just tell you he had sex with a woman, even if he didn't? Like, of course.
Did anyone see the 2008 Indiana Jones?
No.
Yes.
I'm reading the wiki.
God damn it.
Damn, they went through some things on this. I've seen Area 51.
Yep.
This doesn't even get at the most... surprising part of this, which was Kate Blanchett's accent.
What is she, Russian? Is she Russian?
Yes.
Ostensibly Russian?
Okay, she vacillates back and forth between like Katharine Hepburn, Foghorn, right. Leghorn, and this very clipped British colonialist Russian accent. So it's like, Das Vidanya, Dr. Jones. It's batshit.
That's Borat.
Yeah,
it's yeah, a little yeah. It's not. Yeah. I can't prove it's not Borat.
My husband. Get in fridge. But it's like survive.
It's like she memorized how to say each word in a Russian accent, and all they told her was just say these words in this order. And it's like, you will help us find it. Also, she hangs out with Woody Allen, so you know, fuck her.
Yeah, that's... it's got psychic aliens.
Yeah. It's big got ones. Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
got
that, that's way down the list of atrocities. He does open the movie by hiding out from a nuclear explosion inside a refrigerator.
Yep.
Which he then opens from the inside, which I'm sure all parents were happy to see their children learn is a
to
thing
to be
that
fair.
You can do.
It is a much funnier movie if he survives the nuclear explosion but dies because he's locked inside a fridge.
Or what if he's just in there? What if it's just 2 hours of him?
That's how
that would have been a
off.
Way funnier
the
movie.
Disrespect. Oh, I'm missing the Spartans game right now. God damn it.
I would bet you Shia LaBeouf pitched that as the whole plot. It's like,
sure.
What if I'm just in the fridge for like 2 hours, man? And it's just me, you know, going through it. And Spielberg's like, I need the weed you're smoking because it's the good stuff. It's super
I like
powerful.
This note on Indiana Jones 4. Harrison Ford apparently refused to dye, to have his hair dyed. He wanted to keep his gray hair in this because he said, you know, it wanted to be like age positive or whatever. Like, come on, dude. We know you didn't want to like show up 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
Just to set, you know, like it's Harrison Ford. He will be paid for the time he clocks in and then he will clock out.
70% of the scenes will be seated. No.
Don't make me fly this plane into the set, because I'll do it.
I'll twice.
Yeah, don't. I'll just fly to the set. Don't do that, Harrison. Don't.
It's got a flying saucer.
I respect him for crashing like he crashed a plane onto a golf course, which to me, that's like...
He's crashed like six planes, yeah, and America crashed, still thinks it's charming.
He's crashed multiple planes.
Listen, I guarantee you the FAA does not find that charming. Very serious people.
I don't care how charming they find it. They have not affected his behavior in the slightest.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Which tells me that more than a few of them find it charming.
Shouldn't somebody be taking away his pilot's license at this point?
I mean, it seems pretty easy to keep somebody out of a plane.
And yet...
Right? He's wily.
And yet, although that's literally not even true of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is constantly grabbing planes he's not supposed to grab.
Aren't all of Harrison Ford's characters constantly stealing aerial vehicles?
Except U-571.
That's the last place you'd think to look, isn't it?
Could he crash it, though? I bet he could.
Surely he did. He crashed it not down, but up.
He does do a lot of pilot movies. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, remember, he only plays a pilot.
I think it's about, it's a cheap ride.
Anyway, back to the schedule.
Yeah, I was going to say Florida, Missouri. It was actually because I'm...
That's the one?
Yeah.
Really? We're gonna go from fun Indiana Jones talk to Florida, Missouri?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
You suck.
No, you just have a negative opinion about Florida.
Indiana Rutgers. No, it's just that Indiana Rutgers is right on the schedule. The winner will be tied for the lead in the Big Ten East.
Wait, Florida doesn't even play Oh, wait, they do.
They do.
I thought this was cocktail party week. Okay.
No.
As an SEC honk, I have to mention that.
As an SEC
and would have known it.
He said honk, not hunk.
No, I was trying to get him to make the goose game noise. He actually did do that one right.
Yeah,
This is so hard for a podcast.
Why are you picking Missouri, Florida instead of Arkansas A&M?
Because have a Georgia and South Carolina level good reason for this.
Oh, I can tell you because one,
dazzle us.
A&M sucks to watch. They really do.
I don't think that's totally true, but okay.
You don't have to think it's totally true. Okay. I can't help, like, Jimbo's like watching somebody chew aluminum foil. I have no idea what they're trying to do, and everything good they do seems to happen on accident, which normally I find charming, but in their case, I just find plotting and incoherent.
You've changed.
I've never liked watching Jimbo Fisher ball. Never. Ever. It's never made sense to me. Dude called a screen on like 3rd and 1 in 2006 against Florida with LSU. And I was just like, I've given up on this man for life. Nothing. Won a national title. Didn't change my opinion. Hate watching it.
I think it is important to note here that in the last game for these teams, Jimbo Fisher beat Florida.
Interesting.
Oh, please. Who hasn't? Like, this is a sign of competence.
Just Jimbo. Well, I think that is another further argument for Arkansas A&M, which has Arkansas instead of Mizzou.
There's only one possible outcome I'll be happy with in that game. One. And it's not a likely one.
Arkansas
really
winning?
Yeah. Because otherwise, okay. I'm just going to watch a team I like have bad things happen to them.
Okay.
Right? Mizzou, Florida... There's just stuff I don't know, right? Like, I don't, this is the one where you go, okay, well, if Florida's going to play any defense, it would be from moving people around and figuring out how to play even a modicum of defense over the past 2 weeks, right? Which, even then, they were limited in practice because everybody got COVID. So, who knows whether they're going to do that. Also, Mizzou has been very adaptable and actually has, like, a good running game and Connor Bazelak's coming along. There's just a lot of developmental stuff that's like up in the air that I'm really interested to see in this game. That's it. Pretty much know what A&M and Arkansas are going to do.
But you don't think like even knowing that it'll be fun?
I don't know if A&M plays fun. I just don't.
Okay.
They're not a particularly fun team, right? I know Florida can be fun, right? Not on defense. Well, not for me.
Right.
They're very fun for everybody else. And Mizzou, I like Larry Roundtree. Larry Roundtree's an amazing running back, right? I like the fact that Mizzou's managed to stay in two games where at times you're like, I don't know if they're going to make it, man. And they've white-knuckled them and come out on top. They out-Kentucky. What kind of daring do you want out of a team when Kentucky's like, do less, and Mizzou's like, watch us? You know, Eli Drinkwitz is calling all kinds of like weird plays, and yeah, no, I'm all for it. Like, to me, this is actually an interesting football game, and I say that with all sincerity. A&M Arkansas, you know, in the third quarter, if Arkansas is like right there, I'll watch it, like, definitely. But I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, boring ass Jimbo Fisher football grind away at my beloved Hogs.
Don't say that. Grind away. I heard it.
Grind away at my Hogs.
Okay.
Grind away.
Jason, you got a game?
Yeah, it was Michigan State, Michigan.
Okay.
From a while back.
And then we talked about Indiana Jones.
Then we talked about Indiana Jones for like 15 minutes and my brain died.
I love our 30-minute Wednesday night show.
Yep.
It's great. Holly, you got a game? Or are we going to move on to our question?
I will point out that Oklahoma-Texas Tech is kicking off at 7 p.m. on Halloween night in Lubbock. But the game that I am really looking forward to watching, because I am a terrible person,
the drama's killing me.
I actually forgot. No, I had it. It was an SEC game.
It was? Was it LSU Auburn?
Oh, it was not.
Wow. Oh no. I think I know. For terrible people.
Yeah.
I think you want the team that tries less, that does less, that tries to win a game in 40 plays. Are you talking about Georgia, Kentucky?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah. 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 You're a terrible person.
I'm staring right at the schedule right now, and I still don't see it. Like, the internet is arranging itself.
Do not want.
No, it's great. It'll be like burning ants with a magnifying glass that is not actually magnified.
It's up high on the schedule where all the good games are.
Oh, that's because it's at 11 a.m. Thank you, LSUfootball.net.
My only hope for that game is that it's over in like an hour and 30 minutes. Like, just improbably quick. But if we're doing sickos time, well, Northwestern at Iowa is right
there. God damn it. I didn't want to say that out loud, because I was like, oh, that's too depraved.
No. Northwestern at Iowa is right there. Northwestern beat the absolute breaks off of Maryland in week one.
It was like to the point where I'm like, Maryland's not going to win. They're going to go 0-8 this season.
I mean, yeah. So I am like, I'm trying to imagine what it will look like if Iowa starts the year with close loss to Purdue, give up 500 yards to Northwestern at home.
Maybe looking out for our boys at Indiana to suffer some kind of letdown game at Rutgers.
That's just iron sharpened iron is what that is.
You can
is.
Say anything is what I'm learning.
Yep, that is correct.
That would be undefeated Indiana facing undefeated Rutgers.
The Pac-12 also starts playing football this weekend. No, they don't.
Nope.
I was trying to think of something else interesting that might happen. Hey, Mike Leach and Nick Saban have to share a football field for perhaps as many as 3 hours.
Do you want to watch receivers be forced to run into telephone poles?
No.
Man,
I'm still mad about last week, honestly. You put Jalen Waddle in against Tennessee.
Go watch Boise State Air Force instead. Go watch Ohio State, Penn State, any like Navy, SMU. Don't watch Mississippi State, Alabama.
This is kind of what got me lost in the schedule, because I started going down and scrolling for other games. It is one of the weird effects of this year is that it is so hard to scroll down the list and just pick out at a glance what your personal personal smorgasbord for the weekend is going to be. Like, there is always the watch grid from Jason Kirk via Moon Crew, which you should subscribe to immediately. Many people find it useful, including my own father, who complains when he cannot find it in his inbox. But it's so hard to tell at a glance what teams you want to watch, because then you have to go through in your head and scroll through the litany of horrors that each team has visited upon itself and had visited upon it by circumstances this year. And I just don't have the speed for that yet.
That's fair. That's reasonable.
I did think of one thing.
I was just thinking about Bama.
You don't have to watch the game to appreciate this. I just want you to think about it. that Mississippi State runs the same plays Mike Leach has been running for 25 years now.
For time immemorial.
Yeah. And guess what Nick Saban had his defensive assistants doing this week anyway? Watching
that?
The same, watching 50 hours of film with the same plays over. You know, they probably came back like after 3 hours and go, hey, Nick, man, I'm like, this looks like the same plays over and over again. Nick's like, go back, keep watching.
Whole you know, you're right about one thing. We definitely don't have to watch this game to know that.
No, you don't.
Y'all did, but we don't.
Just know that, like, 40 Nick Saban assistants and Rand consultants hired to tell the Alabama football program every possible thing that a team can do ran out of things on Mississippi State about 2 hours into film watching.
I think in Bama they're called Randy consultants.
The Randy Corporation.
Oh my God, that's our consulting firm. Dibs.
That is, yeah.
Also, unranked Texas will try to get an upset over number 6 Oklahoma State. 2020, it's going great.
Yikes.
I think if we have a statistical metric, the sicko metric, the sicko quotient,
yeah.
LSU Auburn has got to be high.
It's way
on that.
Up there.
First of all, it has Auburn. There. All right, it has Auburn. Period. Auburn. Like if this is a zero,
and then it has LSU.
Yeah. If this is a 0 to 100 metric, and like you know, the Bama game is always a zero until Bama loses, then it's 100. But Auburn alone, that's 80 or 90 points. And LSU, we still have no clue what LSU is this year. Sure, you beat South Carolina pretty badly. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know, right? So yeah, this game is going to plumb the depths of the rule book. The ongoing pro-Auburn conspiracy in the SEC will surely continue. Whole new grievances will be spawned. Tune in on CBS.
Yeah,
losing coach, designated trash. Designated trash for the rest of the year.
Coach O fired at 2-3.
His book with Bruce Feldman comes out and he loses to Auburn on a PI call.
Canceled the publication, all copies burned.
Yeah, can I just put this little bee in your bonnet? Fourth quarter, Auburn's trailing by a score of 27-21. Right? Because it has to be that. I was like,
yes.
What's the trickiest number? 27-21.
Yeah.
All right?
27-22 would be even better.
Okay, it's 27-22. How did it happen? You know
doesn't
how
matter.
It happened.
It doesn't matter.
You don't know how it happened exactly, but you know why.
Yeah.
It's 27-22. There are 34 seconds on the clock, and Bo Nix launches a pass from his own 45 to, like, the LSU 5. It bounces off of three people.
Like a Harrison Ford plane flying through the air.
Destination unknown. Control unknown.
Get off my field.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. If I will say, Bo Nix should be allowed to take the field with a bullwhip. He doesn't get to use it. He just gets to have it.
I love this effect Bo Nix has, though.
Bo Nix takes the field with a bullwhip in the Egg Bowl, and
wow,
Lane Kiffin's gonna or Mike Leach is gonna shoot him.
I like that you just transferred Bo Nix to Ole Miss.
God, I got my Bo. I keep putting him in Ole Miss because he's a Bo.
Right.
So firmly is Bo Wallace lodged in my skull.
Sure.
I'm in Iron Bowl anyway. Saban's gonna pull out a purse gun and shoot him.
Saturday night special.
A little Derringer with the pearl handle.
No, it's,
yeah, see?
To be clear, it's a purse gun and it's Miss Terry's.
Sorry.
Because she doesn't let him carry one.
Don't trust you, Nick. You got anger issues. You got to have a cold heart to carry one of these. That's steady aim, brother. Yeah, this is that's all I want to see. I want to see some situation where, like, there's something that could theoretically be pass interference on a goal line play where there's something that could be a call that could go either way and Auburn's lining up from like the 3 and LSU fans are just like, oh no, it's happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. Alpha Jesus hates us. That's what I want to see. Because they know. They know. They've watched the last couple of weeks, man. They're like, oh, it won't happen to me. That happens to Ole Miss.
Put me down for LSU loses on three-point safety.
Oh, hell yes.
The Mark Curlis crew called a three-point safety. Well, we didn't review it.
What's a three-point safety, you might say? Well, tune in on Saturday to find out.
Auburn Jesus lives. He's real. And he loves you.
Not especially you, Kyle.
Not you, Kyle.
We of course, as always, are sponsored by the one, the only, homefieldapparel.com, makers of the world's finest collegiate sweatshirts, hoodies, t-shirts, baseball shirts. It's basically things that will cover your top. They have pants too, but those are not collegiate. And yes, people are screaming to put the sad UConn dog on the pants, but they won't do it. So please keep tweeting and yelling at the company until they put the sad UConn dog on the pants or on a pair of comfortable short shorts. That would be fine too.
No, we're reserving those for my Uncle Buster's line.
Speaking of busted uncles,
mm-hmm.
Alabama next on the list added to the home field family coming to this, the last big new Saturday of season one, I believe. Who's number, Spencer, remind me, who's number one on the big new Saturday standings right now?
Oh, that'd be Auburn. Auburn's currently number one on the big new Saturday
and
standings.
Saturday's Nick's birthday.
Huh.
You know what you can get him? That's right.
The comfiest cotton apparel, mostly for the upper body, known to human history.
That's right. And he's short, so it'll, like, cover... You know,
yeah, you could actually get him like 60%. A fetching sheath dress if you get him like the right kind of fitted shirt.
I have not seen the Alabama designs, but I assume that they are like all the other schools home field has. Things you can't find anywhere else. Extremely good looking. Like the kind of good looking where you're like, I don't like Alabama, and some part of me wants to buy this sweatshirt. That kind of good looking. And use the offer code FULLCAST. You save 20% off your first order. And you make Nick Saban's birthday a happier time.
There's also several power-ups that happen when you wear Alabama apparel anyway. Not that you're not going to have the existing home field bump to your charisma, persona, strength, and intelligence scores already. But by wearing the Alabama shirt, all no trespassing signs and open container laws, they don't apply to you.
Nope. That's true.
Oh.
You can smoke on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Fly it up. Fire it up. Roll Tide.
I haven't seen the Alabama designs either, but I am looking forward to determining which school, Alabama or Auburn, is wealthier, which will be determined solely by this sales competition.
That's true. And therefore better.
Yes, yes, and it'll be true forever, no matter who wins. So, Annie up.
And therefore, more SEC. God, I would hate to be not SEC.
It just
means enough.
More money.
More money.
More of your money for home field apparel. Give it to them.
No pressure.
Give it to them.
We have a question this week. You can play with it. I want you to mess around with this question a little bit, because this is our one question mailbag. The one question mailbag takes the opposite approach to most mailbags. Most mailbags just answer questions willy-nilly. We like to settle down.
Answer questions. What?
Just push back.
Keep moving. Keep moving.
I heard it. We all heard it.
Willy-nilly.
Wow. God, Ryan.
It's worse. It's worse.
Eat shit.
I said that like little...
I'm mad at Ryan.
I knew he was going to say it again, and I didn't want him to.
And now look at what's happened.
Oh. Yeah, Ryan.
Fine.
Can answer them pell-mell.
Stay down, Ryan.
Okay.
This question comes from Emotional Fescue. It is the only question that we will do this week from the one question mailbag.
Ryan, is that okay with you?
I'm staying down.
At Emotional Fescue asks, how long could you live in a mall at night without anyone finding out? And what would be your strategy for food, shelter, entertainment, and self-preservation, maintaining sanity? By the way, it is 2020. Maintaining sanity isn't a parenthetical here. before the question mark. I would like to go ahead and offer a slightly looser parameter for this question because in a mall.
Because we decided on the question like 10 minutes ago.
We did. Also, living in a mall at night, I think, is easier than it used to be, frankly, because malls are kind of abandoned, haunted spaces where I think you could probably last a lot longer.
Oh, they'd probably be happy to have you at this point.
Yeah.
They probably, like, oh my God, we got a Phantom of the Mall? That's awesome. That's going to be great for business.
A Phantom of the Orange Julius? Come this way.
Yeah.
So that would, I think it's easier to do that now, and you're probably a good bit more welcome. I will say, there's fewer supplies in the mall than there used to be. So that part might be a little more difficult.
Is you there perhaps a tweak to the rule here to say, like, accepting 2020, like pretend we're in 2019?
Oh no, I mean like 1990, like when malls were a super thing, right? Because I think this is a great question. I just think you have to expand your understanding of the retail space we're dealing with here, right? So I would say a commercial space, right? Because a mall at night, it's gonna be a little easy at this point. Okay, I think there's good bones to this question though, because you know, in the past, we've discussed where you would want your doomsday spot to be, right? When the great hunger strikes, what place would you want to go to? But right now, if you had your spot, and I do have an answer to this already, what would be your spot where you know you could get some food, get some shelter, entertainment, but there was still going to be a lot of business conducted in said space, right? So you could choose a mall if you wanted to, but could also do a theme park. I think theme park is acceptable for this under retail spaces.
All right.
I'm giving you some latitude, so you can run with it, okay?
I feel like this would have been better if we'd had a couple hours for it. Like, I don't know how much world building I can do in the next 45 seconds.
Driving range.
What did we say last time
driving,
that we did this?
Driving range.
We did this. The last time I remember doing this was when we talked about Tennessee versus Kentucky fans and who was better suited to live above the drop ceiling in a store? Answer was Kentucky fans.
At some point on this show, we've done like which retail establishment.
Which big box stores.
Yeah.
And then before that, we talked about Bass Pro Shops being where we were all going to meet up after civilization collapsed.
Yes, but this is without being detected under current circumstances.
Okay.
So, I will stick with driving range.
Without being detected.
State your case.
It's not, the goal is not to not be detected. It's to not be ejected from the premises. And, like, you have to really cause some problems to get thrown off a driving range. It's easy to get thrown off a golf course. But just like and I'm not talking about a driving range attached to a nice golf course. I'm talking about just driving range where it's like every ball looks like it's been digested through 8 hippopotamuses, like grungy, grody driving range. They'll let me stay there and they'll never care. They'll never care for a minute. As long as I'm not causing any problems, you can stay in a driving range forever.
So Topgolf is where you're going to ride out.
Topgolf is probably too nice. They might kick me out.
I was going to say, like, you're talking about like the chip and putt, right? You're talking you're talking about a place that probably sells beer and firewood seasonally
and bait, also buy bait.
Oh, you said beer and firewood, and now I know where you're talking about. But there's no shelter there except for the firewood shack.
No, there's usually some of these driving ranges will have like a little shed, like a little like store area where you go in to like get your bucket of balls or buy some real basic stuff or get like, you know, an Almond Joy or some shit. This is not luxury living, and I understand that what I'm saying sounds unpleasant, but
I just see you living like 80 yards out in the middle of the driving range and getting pelted when you wake up, right?
That would also build character, so that's fine with me. But like, listen, at this point in my life, I don't want to have to think about like, okay, I have to learn the guard's patterns and then I have to hide on top of this toilet I read the mixed up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. Great book, but I don't want to live that way. I just want the ease and comfort of, that's Ryan. He lives at the driving range. It's cool.
How are you going to get food? Are you just going to live off Almond Joys?
Yes. Yes.
So, Ryan, what you're going for here is like lazy Metal Gear.
Yes.
Where when the guard sees you, there's no exclamation. It's just a period.
It's just an ellipsis. Just like, hey, man, you going to...
Instead
good?
Of blunt, it's like blunt.
Ryan puts a cardboard box in his head, and they're just like, I don't know, tee up and hit it.
Yep.
Bonk, yes. Bonk, 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 bonk.
So how long do you think you could last living?
7 to 8 years.
You're going to look so awful.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
That's a lot coming from you.
Yeah, your teeth are going to fall out.
Yes.
I will say almond joy is quite the pick, though, because you have nuts, which are a rich source of nutrition. So you accidentally buried like a pretty good piece of like survival nutrition inside a diabetes causing disaster.
I can pull them out if I need to. And also, this is like the
Are you just pulling salmon out of the stream at this point?
We can't all be Spencer.
Reader. Close your eyes. You can picture the snacks that this driving range offers for sale. It's the obscenely bright orange peanut butter crackers. You see those in your mind, don't you? There's the weirdly long sleeve of peanuts. That's there. Jerky of some sort of meat snack. Almond Joy, M&M's, probably like, let's go one weird one, like Mamba. Not Starburst, we have Mamba. And then it's like, you know, a bunch of soda and like extremely burnt coffee. It's fine. Listen, it's not it. None of it's good, but it's low stress.
Man, are you just going to is it just going to look like Ryan Nanny 2021 to 2029? Ate Almond Joys, checked Twitter on my phone.
Yep.
And then slept. I'm guessing you're sleeping in the office.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that
that is correct.
Is this your job now?
No, I just live there. I don't have a job. I don't have a family. And that's why if I pull this off, the CIA will come to me and they'll be like, hey, we saw what you did. We like your ability to stay in one place. And we want to put you in this post.
Now, Ryan works in digital media. This is probably where he's going to end up living regardless.
Are you informing on the driving range?
No.
Okay, you will protect your sources at the driving range?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, we just don't want you to roll on the driving range now.
No, this is a mutual deal. It's an anemone clownfish deal here. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I lure the golfers.
Driving range's got to be able to trust you.
That's why I go out in the cardboard box and get pelted to prove my honor, to prove my devotion.
Okay, yeah, this is a fair deal all around.
Yeah.
I am floored at this. This is an amazingly dumb plan. I like it.
It's simple. What it is simple, man. Okay? It's very fucking simple. They're not going to kick me out.
Why do I see you playing Snake on your phone? Your flip phone.
Spencer, describe to me the security presence, human or technological, at a driving range.
Nothing.
Maybe the office has a shitty lock. That's it.
I don't know if police come to driving ranges when you call.
Have addresses. How would they know where to go?
If you're like, hey, there's a fight at the driving range, the police are like,
that's international waters, buddy. Good luck.
It's like, that's people who can afford lawyers playing with sticks. Not going to mess with that. When we get there, they're all going to be holding pieces of iron. No.
Yep.
I'm out.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to give your plan. I'm gonna fail your plan, but I'm going to say I like it. I'm going to give that that's like an F. That's one of the most grandiosely stupid ideas I've heard you have. I love it, though. I do love it.
Let's at least say this.
Mm-hmm.
I am confident I could pull it off.
Okay.
It wouldn't be pleasant, and I would hate myself for doing it, but I could do it.
Okay. I have I have my spot where I think I could, go for a while. I do, because I think you could, hide, like, but solving the security thing, I think there's enough places in this retail space for me to hide. I think there's a food source built in. I know there's Wi-Fi. It's good at most locations. It sucks at the Atlanta one. And I think I can keep myself pretty entertained. And I think that I could maintain my sanity pretty well, honestly. And that would be, I think I could do pretty well living inside an IKEA.
Okay, how are you?
Food, cafeteria.
No, well, but that's, are you buying the food or are you stealing the food?
Are you buying the Almond Joys? Come on,
no,
man.
No. But, like, okay. A, the Almond Joys are far less secure than I assume the food at IKEA would be. And okay. B, the almond, there's no preparation involved. Like, most of the food at IKEA, like, a cook cooks in a big pot or whatever and puts into, a serving tray, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you cooking late at night in the IKEA kitchen?
No. You just take tubes of that, like, salmon paste. God. I could live on that. Don't
yeah,
deny
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know
you
what?
You know
yeah.
I could. I'm not saying
I'm
it's a good idea.
I'm the moron with the driving range. You're just going to eat fucking Swedish salmon paste.
Holly, I could do it for a long time.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Those, like, horrible cardboard crackers and some Swedish fish paste, I could be good for a couple of months on
if
that alone.
If you can figure out how to get the soft serve machine running, you'll be good.
Would you,
if you
listen,
can sleep under it with it open into your mouth.
I will tell you, too, in a pinch at IKEA, you know what you can do if you're super, super desperate? That's how you know I was a dirtbag college student. You put the whole tray back in the rack, right?
Yeah.
When you're done?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you're going to raid those trays.
Man.
That's if I don't have to pay. I didn't say it was good. Okay. I didn't say it wasn't desperate, but it could be done.
Where are you sleeping?
It's going to vary. It's part of my security plan. You got to choose one of the top bunks in one of the small spaces.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to hope you're not, like, a loud farter when you sleep, too. Because that might be a problem.
Okay.
And you don't have to get up until after the store's open. So your sleeping hours are going to be a little odd. But I think you could do it, right? And for entertainment, I'm in an IKEA. I'm probably just going to, like, browse, talk to some people. Might pretend I work there, right?
Don't do that. That'll get you caught.
It will get me caught. I might surf those cargo carts that they have on the first floor for fun. I do that anyway. So I might as well go ahead, get out, get some sunshine. You can do that. Because you only have to do this at night, per the question. So I think I could last for quite a long time in the IKEA, honestly. Especially, again, just stick to the bunk bed so you're not discovered.
Where are you bathing?
Oh, that's not happening very often, let's be honest.
I mean, I'm not doing that at the driving range either.
No, you're sitting out there and letting the sprinklers hit you. Right? Unless
it's
reclaimed water.
That's also recreation.
That's true.
They're like, I just saw you, like, just whipping your shirt off, like, ah! That's right.
It's bidet time for daddy. Now you're mad at me, Holly. Now you're mad at me.
The manager's like, there goes the old man of the range.
I told you to stay down. I told you to stay down for all of our sakes, and now look what's happened.
He's up and living at the driving range every day. Never seen a man so fulfilled.
Will you be tempted, if you live in an IKEA at night, to assemble furniture?
No, not once. Okay. Not once. No. Although, every now and then, the security guards will swear there's a Sasquatch that lives in the halls and puts together furniture. The most difficult kind, the one the employees struggle with. They're not sure how it happens. He's a mythical figure. Some say he sleeps in the upper bunks of displays, farting loudly at night.
So let me tell you how you're going to get caught. You, like me, are a man of larger frame.
Mm-hmm.
IKEA furniture is good for what it is, but yeah. also has some structural limitations.
Yeah.
At some point, you will fall through the top bunk to the bottom bunk. It will be loud, it will be noticeable, and they will realize that you have been living in the IKEA.
Well, then they're going to have to catch me.
I think after you fall in the middle of your sleep, on your back, 5 feet down onto another bed, I don't think you're going to be sprinting all that fast.
Listen, the place is a circle. I'm going to be so in shape. All I'm going to do all day long is swim around like a sad goldfish.
Swim?
Yes. This is the underwater IKEA.
No, why is that? That's not what Jason's poking at.
No.
Where are you going to learn to swim?
There's also that. There's a nice lake by the Atlanta one that probably solves the swimming and the bathing.
No, you can't. You can't.
You're
just
going
like
in and out of the IKEA.
Yeah, it doesn't nice work. Lake. You have to stay on property, man.
This was your idea.
I just have to do it at night. But you know, if you want me staying on property, you know where I'm going to bathe. That's right.
In the Swedish meatball fountain.
That's correct. I'm gonna bathe in the soft serve.
That's the thing that I just imagined. I don't go to IKEA.
Yeah, I'm gonna do what Scandinavians do to keep their skin lovely, sauna? Young, and fresh. Can I make my own? Is there an IKEA sauna? Yeah, actually.
There is not.
That would be awesome. That would be incredible. Just sitting there bathing in the sink of the IKEA test kitchen. Hey, this one's hooked up.
Are you worried that you are so recognizable that on day 8, somebody will be like, hey man, notice you come in here a lot, you never buy anything, and you seem to be here for the entirety of the time the store is open.
I'll hold the bag. Nobody ever looks at what's in an IKEA bag.
That doesn't change the fact that
you're
there.
Are you putting yourself in the bag?
If necessary.
You're there every day.
I will do anything
for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
You don't think they're eventually going to pick up on that?
I'm kind of picking up on IKEA employees not really caring whether they live or die to be a significant advantage.
Jesus.
They don't. Like, what? Have you ever seen an IKEA employee? Like, have you ever asked? Has anyone at IKEA ever asked, can I help you?
No, that's the point.
That's right.
But
I
don't think it's because they're nihilist about their own future.
No. They don't care if you live or die. It's probably the better phrasing there. They're just like, whatever, man. I'm here to like pick up blue bags. Yeah. And one of those blue bags is going to have me in it. And they won't care. They'll just be like, I'll throw it in the corner.
You're nude, aren't you?
No, oh, so nude.
I mean,
just quite nude.
You know what I'm just wearing? I'm wearing those fake fur blankets that they have.
You said that specifically to upset me.
Just cobbled together, right? So I look like I'm from like 35,000 BC hunting mammoth. Jason, do you have an answer on where you would live without being detected?
So I thought about, all right, we're somewhere big, nice, lots of resources.
Driving range is open for
primarily food. I will come visit you at the driving range as I can. You know, a place with shelter, but also we're going to need a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of fresh air. Some entertainment would be nice, you know, for every now and then. So the Atlanta Falcons Stadium, right? If I were to try and weather the apocalypse, there's not going to be a lot of people there because soccer season is done.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only so many soccer games per year. Those are the only times it's inhabited at all. Every now and then there's going to be a few football players running down completely unobserved by any human eyes. So there's my entertainment. The restaurants are awesome there. The food is great, and it's all mine because there's no one else there to eat it. Sometimes
yeah,
they open the roof
over there now.
And Arthur can spend money to open the roof and then close it for no one. But me. Arthur does it for me. That's who it's for. It's great.
That's a good plan.
I actually think that's pretty plausible. You know?
Where are you sleeping? That's, I guess, my only...
Oh, my. I have... I mean, if I want to sleep upright, I have 70,000 choices. So there is, in this thing, it's Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and man, they go all in on that branding. There are Benzes all over the place. Like,
right.
Like, there are there are old Ben's cars that are like stacked up as art, like hanging from a wall. So,
oh, so not even like cars you would have to break into.
No, they're just,
I mean, they're just all over the place. Yeah. Just piles and piles and piles of cars. So right. Yeah, I'm gonna like recline, kick back, and, you know, in a luxury car, driving on the field. Sure. No one will see.
No.
You know, they also, where are you going to, are you going to bathe in the locker rooms?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be available most days, so, yeah. That seems pretty easy. Like, you know, there'll be some days where it's like, well, there's a bunch of football players in there. That is their space. I will not be, competing with them for that, and I will not risk detection. So we're going to take the day off bathing. That's the trade I'll make.
Can we do a quick, like, role play here real quick?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. It's noon. You're walking around the stadium. You've just had a lunch of your choosing. I'm a security guard. Excuse me, sir. What are you doing here?
Hi, I'm with Peach Bowl.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Damn. Fuck.
See?
Also,
spoiled.
Also, if we wanted to get creative, there's a little bird-shaped nest, like bird's nest-shaped.
There's a couple, structure. Aren't there?
There's a couple, and I was always thinking, like, the tops of those, they kind of looked cozy, to be honest. They look like nests. You could just get a bunch of, like, discount Todd Gurley shirts, make yourself a pretty nice little nest up there. Nobody find you. I think Jason has the best answer so far. Holly, can you top him?
Oh, no. Never.
No?
Do you want me to try?
You can try.
Okay. For the record, I think that nobody would find you would be a good place to stop. But in the interest of turning our 80-minute, 30-minute episode into a 90-minute, 30-minute episode, I thought about Epcot because I'm the only person who likes Epcot. And if the world immediately around Epcot were to fall into mayhem and chaos and desolation and emptiness tomorrow, I, for one, would be pretty happy from an Epcot sense, because that would mean that they would stop tearing down all the dorky old nerd rides at Epcot and putting in things about Frozen. So, the Land Pavilion at Epcot is where I would make my home, because there are hydroponic fruits and vegetables, there are fish, there are comfortable benches in the food court on which to loll, and most importantly, I could ride the hydroponic farming ride over and over again, and no one could make fun of me for wanting to go on the hydroponic farming ride at Epcot before I do anything else, and at the expense of everything else at Epcot. That's what I'd like to do. In reality, I imagine this playing out a lot more like the season one finale of the Nickelodeon television program, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Talking about the original version of the television show from the 90s. In which, now this is a Gary story, so bear with me, but you know, he nailed this one, just this once. A kid in a mall steals a quarter from a wishing well and tries to get a job at one of those stores that looks like it sells swords. You know, it always comes back to mall swords on this show. And there is a pinball game under a tarp in the cover, and the crotchety old owner of the shop, who you'll see again later, says, you know, hey, yeah, you can watch the store while I'm on my lunch break, but don't peek under the tarp. That game's not ready. And the old man leaves for lunch, and the kid flips up the tarp and starts playing this game, only to find himself trapped in a mall that has been turned into a giant pinball game. He fights his way through robots, zombies, like hooded medieval executioners. There's a big old dude swinging a mace. This was a children's show. Gets to the end, crowns the princess. The witch is defeated. Order is restored to the kingdom. And then everything disappears, and he finds himself back in the lobby of the mall again. And a huge silver pinball is rolling to the top of the escalator right above him. And if that is not what the end of the world feels like to me right now, it's close enough for a podcast.
I like Epcot, too. I think Epcot is great.
Let's talk about Epcot.
So you like the science-y parts.
I like Land Pavilion. I wish they had never torn down like Body Wars and Cranium Command. Those rides were dope. Horizons is the best ride Disney has ever made, and they tore it down for that shitty GM thing.
Yeah. I like the walk around the world. I very much like that. That's my single favorite thing at Disney entirely. Last time we went in January, Emily just said, like, all right, here is some... She did the thing like mom dropping teen son off at movies. She was like, here, go to Epcot. We will leave you there, and we will go have fun. And I was like, great, I'm occupied, right? So, yeah, I could spend all day at Epcot. I think that's one of the best possible answers.
Yeah, the thing that people don't really realize about Epcot, because it's Florida and you can't really tell where the landscape is going down there, Epcot is huge. Epcot is split into two parks, but it's also the size of like two entire theme parks. You could have multiple people living their lives in Epcot. Jason, if you wish to occupy the World Showcase in Epcot, and I were to occupy the World of Tomorrow way over on the other side of the lake, we could never run into each other.
Am I right in thinking, and I'm not an Epcot expert, the play here is, at least during the during the park's opening hours, just don't get drunk. Like, mostly Disney staff is preoccupied with, okay, who is too drunk drinking around the world?
Well, if you're at Epcot, you're gonna need to be somewhat drunk, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you're at Epcot Germany and you're not holding three beers,
somebody's looking a little suspect. Weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you really wouldn't hear about this, but have any of you ever known anybody who hit out the park at any of the Disney parks
overnight
and who hit out?
Oh, who? No, I'm not Floridian, so no.
Okay. Jason, Ryan, do you know anybody who pulled this off?
No, I thought you said hit it out of the park, but no.
That's what I thought he said.
I thought this was some sort of a sex reference.
Yes.
No, somebody who is hidden out.
On spaceship Earth.
Yeah. This is... Cause
I am in
a room
with my mother.
You normally wouldn't hear about it because everywhere on the park that has... that is, you know, terrestrial and isn't, like, isolated, has the Disney security force that sweeps the whole place, and you wouldn't hear about it because everything that happens at Disney kind of happens under, like, the veil of Mickey, right?
Here's a good Los Angeles Times headline from 2010 to this point. After dark, the dirty work at Disneyland begins.
Oh, yeah, that's when they put out all the weird chemicals that make sure there are never any bugs.
Yeah.
Okay. however... There is a place that doesn't get checked by security nightly, and it is Discovery Island.
Is Discovery Island still open?
It closed in 1999.
Okay.
And it has not been open. It is the subject of some forays by urban explorers and other daredevils.
This in that group with like Typhoon Lagoon where they go and photograph how nature is retaking Disney?
Yes. Now, when you say nature retaking Disney, you think all of the things that Florida has to offer. Lizards, snakes, alligators.
No, I think raccoons.
Or a 42-year-old Alabama raccoons. Man.
Oh, well, all right.
Because this year, in May, Disney World's been closed since March, right? At this point. But in May, a 42-year-old Alabama man was arrested on Discovery Island telling deputies he was unaware he was trespassing. He called the island a tropical paradise, according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office.
Man, I love the idea of a dude who has never been to Disney because he's been in Alabama for all of his life, just happening upon it by boat, being like, oh, here there be dragons.
Here's an important sentence from the CNN story about this man. Deputies launched searches for the man on foot, boat, and helicopter, which he claimed not to have heard, because he was asleep in one of the island's buildings.
Why did the deputies know to look for him at all? Did this man have a family?
He was seen. He was
spotted.
Okay, bad staff work.
He was spotted and warned over the PA that he was not allowed on the island.
Oh, but there's a working PA?
I guess so, yeah.
So
it's like when they go back to Jurassic Park in the sequel.
The other part, there are two notes here that are great. One, deputies noted that there were numerous no trespassing signs like this. Yeah, Alabama, the 42-year-old Alabama man.
No trespassing in the happiest place on earth. Oh, boy.
Like,
you will be shot.
there's a sign here that says no trespassing. I better skedaddle. No.
Seek thee not the diamond and the rough.
He was arrested on Thursday. When did he get there? According to his own account, he got there Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday.
Which means
that he made it fine.
He might have set a record here, because that means theoretically he might have made it three nights in Disney without anybody noticing him.
That man pooped on that island.
Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.